welcome everybody to HomeKit Insider. It is the first episode of 2021. Ooh. This is pretty awesome. I'm stoked. So you got me, Andrew, here, along with my pal, my partner in crime, the inventor of the Inside Out Peanut Butter and Jelly Sandwich, Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Happy New Year, man. This is the first one of 2021. We're in the future. We're past the 2020.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I know. You know, I was thinking about something, and I, in a lot of my file folder organizations, I do a year to delineate things, you know, and thinking next year is going to be 2022. That feels like Blade Runner era. Like, it feels like really, really future. 2-2-2. But anyway, you have some exciting news about the podcast. This is a triumph. If you're a guy out there who is also married, this is like one of the highest honors you could receive when it comes to podcasting. And so, Andrew, tell us what has happened.
You like built it up so much.
Oh, I did. This is a big deal.
My wife has now started listening to the podcast.
Wow.
So now I am going to be extra self-conscious about everything that I say on here. And I'm like, see, what smack did I talk in all of those previous 30-some episodes? But no, she had like binged listened like all these true crime podcasts and like finished it all, of course, on her HomePod Mini. This is my own doing because she's got that HomePod Mini and she loves it on her desk. She doesn't have to use her phone. And so she's like binged all these true crime podcasts. And next thing I know, and she's like, I found a new podcast. I'm like, what? She's like, oh, it's this one with these two guys. They talk about smart home stuff.
Oh,
and I was like, oh no. So my wife is now listening. So hi, Faith. How's it going?
No, wait a minute. Was that a joke? Like, did she literally just stumble upon it or did she know the name of this show?
No, she knows that I did the podcast. I don't know how she found it. I don't know if she Googled it or if she knew. She probably just knew. I mean, I don't know.
Amazing.
I didn't get into that many details, but.
Amazing. Listen, the reason why I built this up is because this is a triumph. I mean, you know, when I tell people if we're ever like talking to friends and I'd be like, yeah, I do this podcast and that. And like my wife will say, oh, yeah, I forgot you did that. And that's like, oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah. No, she does listen to podcasts too. It's not like she doesn't listen to any, but the technology podcasts are like completely outside the Venn diagram of her interests and mine. So,
right. I know. I try to explain something and it's like, okay, well, that's nice. And I'm like, we must be entertaining enough for essentially, you know, a layperson who doesn't do the smart home stuff to listen to us.
You just call your wife a layperson? Is that what you just did?
Yeah.
Well, good luck, buddy.
Believe me, she is not good. She does not like, I put her through hell. Like, how many times am I switching out wall switches, door locks, lights, like automating things? She's like, why is this happening now? Mm-hmm. Oh, I automated it that way. She's like, okay.
I want to know her reaction when she goes back and listens to all those snack cabinet lock stories.
Oh, she knows. I mean, she knows. I mean, everyone who walks into the house is like, why is that cabinet guarded like freaking Azkaban? Like, it's literally, you know, taped down. So it's, no, she's well aware of our snack cabinet foibles.
Very good. All right. Well, it's the new year. There's some new news. And we're going to talk about some fun stuff today. So first, Eve, our friends at Eve, they make all the great HomeKit stuff. They actually updated their app. So you can update their app on your iPhone, iPad. I think this is on the Mac too now.
The M1-based Macs, yeah.
The M1-based Macs, all right. So they updated it, and you can now see the Thread devices in your home in the Eve app. It'll tell you what is Thread and what's not. So if you update the app, you're on the latest one, you go to the settings tab in the app, and then you go to Thread Network, it will show you what devices are using Thread right now in your home. And for me right now, I basically have a HomePod Mini, because I think my Eve devices are pre-Thread. But it'll show you if you have Thread devices, what they're connected to and such, and then you can also learn more about Thread. Again, this is like a brand new technology, and we're just kind of getting into it. Devices are coming out with Thread, but it is super cool. Like, I would love more features like this in home apps where it's telling you, hey, here's the hub, or here's what hub this device is connected to, which would be really helpful, especially devices that don't use Wi-Fi but use Bluetooth, telling you signal's not great. And some apps do tell you that. Like, I know the Acar app will say, you know, weak signal, strong signal, things like that. But this is a pretty cool feature. The Thread Network tab is now in settings in the Eve app.
I know we're going to have a lot more Thread news coming out in 2021, I think. I mean, we're going to have everyone else kind of launching Thread stuff. So right now I've got Nano Leaf sitting in mine. Other than that, there's not a ton of Thread stuff out there. So I'm excited to see this, and I'm excited to continue to talk about Thread and why it is going to be so cool. in some other episodes this year.
That's right. All right, next bit of news. HomePods were updated to 14.3. This was actually a couple weeks ago, but it was discovered that if you update your HomePod Mini to 14.3 operating system, it actually will now work with the 18-watt power brick. And this is wild because, you know, when the HomePod Mini first came out, it shipped with a 20-watt. Same thing with the like MagSafe Duo and MagSafe chargers, how you need a 20-watt to get the full charging throughput, not the 18-watt. And the reason why people were up in arms about this is because if they bought an iPhone 11, Apple shipped the iPhone 11 Pros with the 18-watt power brick. And the 20-watt is new. It just came out this year. It doesn't come with the iPhone, but you can buy the 20-watt. So Apple apparently can do this in a software update. Updated HomePod Mini 14.3. And now if you have an 18-watt power brick from Apple that maybe came with your iPhone 11 Pro, you can use that. And the HomePod Mini won't glow red or orange angrily at you. It'll work with the 18-watt adapter.
Not only that, and I did a whole video specifically on this, but it'll work with any with an asterisk, any battery pack that you've got that does at least 18 watts of USB-C power. There's some that may not work just to how they're regulating that power, but if you've got an 18-watt battery pack that you've got lying around, USB-C, plug this in there, and you can hopefully use your HomePod Mini as a portable speaker. We did this. I've got these massive Zendure Super Tanks and the Super Tank Pro, which have like multiple 100-watt outputs on them, and I can like run this speaker for a ridiculously long time off of these battery packs. But those are huge. But now you can use smaller ones with that, and I think an 18-watt output is more common than a 30-watt or a 60-watt or even these 100-watt ones that I use. So I think this opens it up even more to be able to use these guys portably.
Very cool. All right, so I want to do a bit of follow-up. So I had talked about, in my hopes for 2021, things that Apple was going to do or add to Home was putting scenes in complications on Apple Watch. So I could put a complication on my Apple Watch and trigger like the goodnight scene. And I don't have to say it, I could just tap a complication. And you had mentioned Home Run, which we had talked about in the past on this show. So I'll put a link to that episode if you want to hear all about Home Run. But I tried what you said. I said, all right, let me try Home Run, see, and use the complication. So I set it up. You open up the app on your iPhone, and you can choose what scenes in your Home app you want to use as a complication. And you can change the time and the custom icon for each complication. So what I was trying to do is at a certain time of day, like let's say 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., the complication shows the good morning scene, which wakes up the whole house. And then at 6 p.m., the complication changes. I have a scene that says it's movie time, and it lowers and dims the lights, and it turns on my home theater system. And then at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m., the complication switches again to good night, which shuts down the whole house. So one, it worked-ish. It worked. A couple times. And what I found is after a while, the complication like stopped changing reliably. Like I would have to either open the Home Run app on my Apple Watch to kind of refresh it or open the app on my iPhone and kind of push a refresh. So it didn't stay synced all the time. And then I also found, now this was my own doing because I asked for this, but because it was a complication and I have an always on display on my Apple Watch, I actually accidentally triggered some of my scenes just as I was like brushing my watch past something or it was on my leg or my other hand like tapped it. And my whole family, we were literally watching a movie. We were watching Back to the Future, which classic, let me just say. So I was introducing my kids to that. And we were in the middle of the movie and I like moved slightly and my entire house turned off. The home theater turned off. All lights turned off. We were in pitch black. And everybody was like, what just happened? And I was like, I have no idea. And then I realized I triggered the good night scene because I had programmed it to change, I guess, at 8 or 9 p.m. And we were watching it like at 9:30. So that's on me. I could have changed the time and done that. But I think for me, my preference, I prefer to not have the complications change per time of day. Like I like to know that the complication I have set on a particular watch face is always that action. You know, I have a couple watch faces where I have a shortcut and the one specific shortcut is the complication, which I just realized I could probably create a shortcut that triggers a home scene and do that. You might've mentioned that last time. Anyway, sorry, side note, but the Home Run way it does that. And this was what I ran into with WatchSmith, that app from _David Smith. You can change complications depending on time of day. I for me personally, I don't like it changing, I think, randomly, because then you kind of have to know what time it is and remember what you set the time for it to change for and all that. So not for me. But as a complication, like, it works. You know, I think your mileage may vary. If you want something where you can trigger a home scene right from your Apple Watch face, I do encourage you to try it. It does work. Like, it works for sure. You can use the scenes you already have, make the complication trigger that scene. But for me, I'm still maybe wanting to see what Apple will do from a first-party standpoint to put scenes from your home app as watch complications. I'd like to see what they're going to do there. That's been my experience. Do you use Home Run on your watch?
I don't, but mainly because I still use Siri for almost everything.
Yeah.
I find it more tedious to lift up my wrist and tap a complication versus just asking Siri to do it. Uh-huh, well, a lot of time it's like I'm walking around.
Yeah,
like, I'm walking into the basement and I'm trying to turn on the lights or something and my hands are full of boxes and I'm just like, yo, Siri, turn on the basement lights. And she does it. I find that just easier than grabbing my phone or my watch complications. And honestly, I do not have enough complications. Like, I am using all of them actively. I mean, I'm looking at mine right now. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 complications on here, and I'm using all of them. I got my blood sugar, my battery, which I usually put the battery on there because I wear my watch to bed. I like to have the battery life of my watch that I'm aware when I need to charge it. So I got my battery life on there. I've got my activity rings. I've got my alarm, all sorts of stuff. So I feel like I really use the complications already a ton, and it makes it harder to like devote 1 or 2 complications to running my home when Siri can do it just as well. So that's kind of my taste. I really like I haven't used it much recently, but I really liked the Siri watch face because I love how it was able to intelligently put up those cards based on what you're doing or the time of day or something like that. But I just felt like there haven't been enough apps updated to use the Siri watch face. Like, I'd love if there was a card for my blood sugar that would populate in there as well,
right,
alongside maybe complications for Home Run or something. So based on the time of day, it would be putting those cards into my Siri flow so I could look at my watch and scroll through and tap them. It would make it less prone to accidentally tapping like you did. And it would combine that with everything else, like my weather and my calendar and the news and everything like that. Like, I really, really like the Siri watch face. We just need more apps that kind of take advantage of it better.
So that just made me think of a couple things. This next segment, if you're looking at the chapter markers for our show, this is going to be called Grab Bag. This is the Grab Bag, because I have a couple things that just came to mind. These are home adjacent. But when we're talking about Apple Watch complications, I just want to mention two that I find really useful. One, I use Pocket Cast to listen to all my podcasts, which is HomeKit Insider related because we're a podcast. But I use Pocket Cast, and their Apple Watch app is incredible. Like, you can literally manage your up next list, skip forward, skip chapters. Like, their app for Apple Watch is amazing. So I have a one big complication for Pocket Casts, and it's great because I can just do everything there. And also, because we're in the season of masks right now for the foreseeable future, we don't know when, I use a grocery list app, and this is a home adjacent because you buy groceries for your home kit. I think we get there. So groceries, I use the app called AnyList. I love it. Been using it for years. Literally, you can separate by department store or grocery store and list categories, and it syncs. You can share lists. So my wife and I share grocery lists. It works great. But with masks, it's been annoying to try to keep unlocking my iPhone because it won't unlock with Face ID to get to that grocery list. So AnyList, their Apple Watch app, is really great. It is super fast. It syncs really quickly. And I have a complication on my Apple Watch that it sends me straight to AnyList. And I can literally go through my grocery list. So when I go grocery shopping now, I don't even touch my phone. I just look up at my watch. It's the AnyList. If it's not already on the screen because of the last app I used, I tap the AnyList icon. And then I can just tap the next item off the list. And it's been great because I don't have to put in a passcode every time. I just need to see the grocery list. And it's right there on my watch. Super convenient. So anyway, little grab bag tips there. And then one more from me. Talking about HomePod, this is directly HomeKit related now. I have found, because I have multiple HomePods, and sometimes if you have multiple HomePods, listener, you know that sometimes you could trigger one in another room that you didn't intend to. And my kids do this all the time because they feel like the louder you talk, the better Siri will hear you. And so my kids will like literally yell, even though they're like 10 feet away from the HomePod, like, hey, dingus, you know, and it doesn't really help. But I have found that actually talking softly, because those microphones are so good on those HomePods, I've been able to talk directly to the HomePod that I want pretty much with like 95% accuracy. And I have HomePod minis pretty close to a main HomePod in my bedroom. And then I have one in my kitchen and living room. And if I just actually softly say, "Hey, Dingus," it actually like lights up. I could see it's listening and it responds really quickly. And when I've been wanting to trigger my home scenes, like good night, or I have another one that's go to bed. So the kids go to bed and my wife and I are still awake, it will actually respond really quickly and work fast. So if you've been having issues triggering the right HomePod, like you hear one going off in a room far away and not the HomePod nearest you, I would actually encourage you to try actually asking softer. It's helped me and it's been working for me too. So anyway, that's just my quick tips. Do you have anything like that? Do you find that like when you ask your HomePod stuff, like what volume do you like, normal talking level? Do you kind of lower it a little bit? Do you raise it? How do you talk to your HomePod?
I talk to it like it's a person in the room. I don't amplify or reduce my voice at all. Whatever my normal voice is, I feel like my normal voice changes throughout the day. Like during the day when it's, you know, brighter and it's like kind of more energetic, I talk louder, I project more. And then into the evening, just because it's like darker outside, I find myself being a little bit quieter. And that just, I don't do anything different. And she responds to me, Siri responds to me 99% of the time.
Yeah.
I just don't do anything. I just talk in normal voice, just, "Yo, Siri, do this." And it just works.
Yeah. Okay. One last grab bag tip. I don't know if you know, listener. Maybe you, I'm sure you know. You can actually change the nickname that Siri calls you. And I was messing around with this the other night, and I was surprised how quickly you can't change it on a HomePod. You have to change it on your iPhone. But if you trigger Siri on your iPhone, you say, "Change my nickname," it'll ask what you want to be called. You tell it something else, and then it will address you as that in the future. And then you can just ask Siri, "What's my name?" and it will tell you. I was messing around with it last night. My wife was super fast on the draw. I said, "Hey, Dingus, change my nickname." And as soon as Siri asked, "What do you want to be called?" my wife said, "Poopy head." And it immediately heard it with extreme clarity and changed my nickname to that. And as soon as it changed on my phone, I locked my screen. I hit the side button so the screen is dark. And I asked my HomePod, "Hey, Dingus, what's my name?" Literally 4 seconds later, and it already had the new nickname. And I know it's communicating to my phone and, you know, there's some kind of magic there with syncing, but it actually did it really cool. And I changed it after that. I didn't leave it as Poopy Head. I changed it to Captain. So Siri calls me Captain now. Anyway, you could change the nickname and what Siri calls you in case you didn't know, listener.
You can also just say like, "Yo, Siri, call me."
Yeah.
And then whatever you want to call. So it can be a one-step process as well.
Right.
So it's kind of cool.
Do you have Siri call you something fun, like Emperor Andrew or something?
No. Mine's just Andrew. Faith, who might be listening, she had Siri call her Faithers. So it's she's like, "Right up, Faithers."
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell me, you installed a level lock in your studio. So tell us what that experience was like. How's it working?
Yeah, this is my second one of these guys. I liked the first one. We got another one because we've been building... I mean, it's been a while since we talked about it because I got to the point where it's like stalling everything, still trying to finish like the last few details on the new studio. And one of the remaining things was putting in a flipping door. I still need to finish the barn door, building that for the storage room. And I have like two pieces of drywall that need to go up on either side of the door because it's a super weird entryway. And just got the door finished a couple weeks ago. And then I've been waiting for my level lock to arrive. And I mean, it's still a studio, so I know it's not like a huge degree of protection, but just in general, I felt better having something on the door versus nothing. And I like this upstairs. We had it on just an extra closet that we had. So we put one down here in the studio and it looks great. It's like the burnished bronze, maybe. It's like a blackish color, which goes well with the brown door that I built. And it looks great. It works perfectly. Of course, we had a HomePod here in the studio, so it connects just fine. They do include, when you get like the connected version of this, because I think you can get it just on its own as a smart lock with a touchpad on it. But then there's the version with like the August connected stuff. So it's got like the connected by August module, which I'm pretty sure is renamed at this point, but the connected by August module that slides in there. And then there's an August connect bridge. For HomeKit, you don't need to use the bridge. So you can just, because this thing communicates over Bluetooth, it'll communicate to your HomePod or whatever you've got nearby. So that'll still give you remote access through HomeKit. But if you want remote access through the August or the Yale Connect app, you still have to use that module. So it's kind of up to you if you choose to use it or not. I didn't even bother plugging it in. Outlets are like a rarity around this house. So I saved an outlet and didn't use the Connect module. It does come with the DoorSense sensor, which I like and don't like at the same time. I like that they include it, and the DoorSense sensor basically tells you if the door is open or closed, as well if it's just like partially ajar, which I think is the more important part, because if your door is like left open, so if you have this on a door that's more important, like your front door, and you're using like the August smart lock Wi-Fi version or something like that, and you don't close it all the way, even if you're like a half an inch off or something, it'll say, hey, your door's been ajar for more than a minute, and you'll look at it like, oh crap, I thought that was closed, and you can take care of that. So I do like that they have that option, because you can include that here with the Assure level lock. The downside is it doesn't work with HomeKit, the actual contact sensor part, which I think is a missed opportunity. I mean, the door itself, the lock works with HomeKit. Why can't the contact sensor? It's talking the same way. I would prefer that. I think that would be nicer, because now I do have to put an additional contact sensor on there. I think the third gen Eve contact sensors work over Thread. So I'm probably going to pick up one of those to put on here just to complete it, so that I know when that door is open and closed. It just makes me feel better, peace of mind on the studio. So I've been doing that. We've been doing a little bit of stuff here in the studio because it's kind of around the holidays. I mean, I feel like I've been just as busy at work, kind of wrapping up some of the year-end stuff through Apple, but I picked up a couple things. These are not HomeKit related in any way, but if you guys have not looked at Grovemade before, their stuff makes me so happy, and I just got their new headphone stand to go with my AirPods Max, and I've got like the walnut one, so it's like a nice, beautiful chunk of walnut with stainless steel on either side, and then that is finished with leather to make it like soft to the touch, and then your headphone just rests over the top. It's super simple and really pretty. And I also picked up a couple of their notebooks. I really love physical notebooks. I've several of them, between Moleskine ones and a bunch of others, but theirs are some of my favorite. They've got like leather ones and even wood ones, and I think the leather ones you can refill because they got like brass rings down the edge, so you can just open it up and put new paper on there. So I just love physical notebooks. So I got a couple of extra notebooks for the studio here too, so you'll probably see them in videos. If you guys pay attention to the videos on Apple Insider, you're going to see these headphone stands and the notebook stuff, just beautiful set dressing and things to dress up the studio with. So yeah, just another other couple HomeKit projects we've been doing around the end of the year here.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love Grovemade stuff. I've used, there's a lot of their desk stuff in the past, like they have cool mats and things like that, but I'll put a link in show notes to that headphone stand for sure. It looks pretty sweet. And I just saw, as I was on their website, they have the MagSafe stand where you can pop your MagSafe charger in there and it holds your phone vertically, or, you know, just kind of floats there.
Can I say one thing about MagSafe real quick?
I'm not
doing a whole tangent, because I'm going to write a piece on it, because I've already started working on it. I probably won't have it published by the time this podcast goes live, but it's been on my mind and it's driving me crazy. MagSafe, I love it so much, but I feel like it's like 90% of the way there, and I wish Apple would. So if you guys don't know, on MagSafe, there's actually part of it is the magnets and the charging and all that, but there's also an NFC chip in most MagSafe accessories, and there's an NFC reader, an additional one on the back of your phone that's just for reading MagSafe accessories. Apple needs to, I say need, like I'm demanding this. I demand this, Apple. It would be wonderful if Apple would gift us with the ability to run automation and stuff based on MagSafe. We're getting that you have the NFC chip to read what you're connecting to. Okay, is this a wallet? Is this a car stand or a car mount? Is this a dock? Something like that. And I want to be able to include that in shortcuts, so I can run a shortcut, like if I'm putting this on my bedside nightstand or whatever. Okay, it sees it's connected to a MagSafe dock. Do you want to, can this run a shortcut? You put it into your car. Can that run a shortcut? Maybe your wallet falls off. send a notification to your watch that
oh my goodness
your wallet just came off your phone.
It just blew my mind.
Like, I feel like there's things that they can do there. They've got an NFC reader on there. They can tell what accessories they are. It's everything. All the pieces are there, yeah. But it doesn't do anything yet. So I would love if Apple. I mean, if the only thing those NFC readers are doing is changing the animation and the color on the display when you like put on a phone case, it feels limiting.
Yeah.
And when they could do something so much cooler. So I feel like that is HomeKit related because I really do think about running automations like you dock your phone at bed at night or in your car or anything like that. Your wallet comes off. There's all those things could run some automation. You leave your house and it alerts you that your wallet isn't attached. Run an automation that alerts you with a prompt that says, did you leave your wallet?
Man.
Like something like that. There's definitely stuff that you can automate there.
Those are excellent suggestions because I actually have an NFC tag, like one of those little stickers in my car, and I can scan it and it basically resumes my podcast thing playing through my car. I also have a MagSafe charger in my car. I bought one of those big pucks just to be in the car. That would be amazing if I could just connect it to the charger and it runs that same shortcut, and then I don't have to have an NFC tag in there. It just does it. Well, speaking of automations, we wanted to mention some of the shortcuts that we have and been using. And this actually also answers a listener question, so this is kind of a two-for-one. Aaron Rulig, I don't know if I said that right, but on Twitter, he tweeted at both Andrew and myself, and he was asking about grouping HomePods but not doing a stereo pair. And I totally get this because I have a HomePod in my kitchen, one in my living room, and sometimes I want to play music on both, but I don't want them to be a stereo pair because I also use them individually. And so what he's saying is, you know, can you group it so you can play to those two HomePods in different rooms, but they are separately? And you could do this in AirPlay. You know, if you're playing music or playing a podcast, if you go to that AirPlay menu, you know, you could swipe in Control Center, long press on whatever's playing, hit the little AirPlay symbol, and you can select multiple HomePods, including stereo pairs and individual ones. Is there a way to do that automatically? And as far as I can tell, there is not. Even in shortcuts, if you create a shortcut, you can use a set playback destination command, but you can only choose one destination. You cannot choose multiple individual HomePods as your playback destination. So, yeah, unfortunately, as far as I could tell, you cannot group separate HomePods that aren't stereo pairs into one thing and play all of that at the same time. Now, that being said, I do have multiple shortcuts that resume my whatever podcast I was listening to in Pocket Cast, and it sends it to a specific HomePod. So I have shortcuts that are called resume on kitchen, resume on living room. And what I've done there is in the Pocket Cast app, and you can do this with Apple Podcasts, you can do this with Overcast, there's a command that just says resume playing. You know, whatever podcast was playing in that app last, just resume playing that one. And so I use that command first in the shortcut, and then the second command in that shortcut is set playback destination. And for that, depending on what shortcut I have, like resume on kitchen, I set my playback destination to the kitchen. And this way I can just say, hey, Dingus, I'm talking to Siri, resume on kitchen. And whatever podcast I was listening to starts playing and it's coming out of the kitchen HomePod and I'm good to go. So that is some of the shortcuts that I use around the house, especially with HomePods. Again, you can't do multiple HomePods in one shortcut like that, but it's nice if you could just want to resume stuff on a specific device. You don't have to touch your phone. You could just say the command and that shortcut runs. What about you? You got any shortcuts you wanted to share?
Yeah, I've got one as well that I've been recently using. So another thing that I set up was I put an extra light strip behind the headboard of our bed. So we have a king size bed, headboard up, and I thought it'd be a cool idea to put like an accent light behind the headboard. I did that and I was like, wow, this is actually really cool for like at nighttime reading because it makes the light really soft. I'm using an Eve light strip, so it's got adaptive lighting, which is perfect because it changes automatically to like that warmer light in the morning and at night. So I ended up creating a really simple, it's in the shortcuts app, but it's actually, I think, called like one of your personal automations, like that middle tab for automations,
right,
instead of just a regular shortcut. But I created it so that when my alarm is stopped, it'll go ahead and turn on my headboard to like 15% light. Mm-hmm. So HomeKit doesn't have a way, which we've talked about this, and it's a bummer. I wish HomeKit would allow you to like gradually brighten up a light You know what I mean? And I was originally doing this just by having it set to a certain time every day. Like, okay, at 7:30 or at 7, turn on my headboard light to 15%, whatever. And the thing that I ran into was my alarm isn't the same every day. Like, it's mostly the same, but if it changes on the weekend or if I'm getting up, or like sometimes Faith will do her workouts in the morning and I'll come out and have coffee and stuff with her. If I'm getting up early in those cases, my alarm, like the time is different. Hmm. It wasn't regularly turning on and off when I wanted it to. So I created this shortcut where when I turn off my alarm, it'll turn the headboard on. So it, and it turns it on to that low light. So 10-15%. So it, and it's behind the headboard. So it's already diffused because it's kind of bouncing off the wall and going into the room. And it makes it nice enough that if I wanted to continue sleeping, I totally could. Like if it was one of those days where I'm like, you know what? No,
not today.
Just off, done. Yeah, this is So that's still an option. I could still easily sleep. It would just be some nice warm light in there. But if I also am actually getting up, it does help me kind of start the day. And I can already see in the room. I don't have to run a scene manually. I don't have to tell Siri to turn on the bedroom lights to 10% and nothing like that. I don't have to hit the wall switch to turn the lights on or the remote hue dimmer switch that I keep next to the bed. Don't have to do any of that. It just automatically turns on that light for me. I can see where I'm going. It's a nice, handy, little, simple automation.
Very cool. And I'll share one more shortcut that I do. I've talked about my home theater system and how I'm using that third-party Harmony app to connect it with HomeKit. And so while I have a movie shortcut, I also have a play Nintendo Switch shortcut. And so whether I'm wanting to watch a movie and go to the Apple TV, or I'm going to play Nintendo Switch and do some Smash Bros. With my kids, I can actually ask my HomePod to say, play Nintendo, or it's movie time, and it will actually turn on my whole home theater system and TV to the right input for either device. So I don't need my remote. I don't need to do anything. I can just tell Siri, and it all turns on. The next step would be, you know, if it could like raise and lower the volume by voice. I'll have to see if I can actually do a shortcut for that, because the Logitech Harmony, I think, you know, the third-party connection only allows for turning on and switching scene or activity, but that's the only thing that I still need a remote for, is changing the volume. So I have my Play Nintendo shortcut, I have my movie time shortcut, and it also dims the lights a little bit for either of those. So those are little fun shortcuts. So I encourage you, if you have a home theater system, lots of devices, check out Logitech Harmony and that app to connect as HomeKit. So as the new year, let's hit some new listener questions. Chris on Twitter hashtagged us, HomeKit Insider, asking about if Siri can tell what color a light bulb is, can you also tell it to change to a certain color? And the answer to that is absolutely. You can tell Siri to change the color of any lights that you have that do change color. Like if you have Hue light bulbs or if you have a light strip, you can tell Siri to change it to a certain color. You just say, hey, dingus, turn the, for me, I have one light strip, so I can say, turn the light strip green and it turns green. Or you could call it the name, like living room lamp. We have a Hue light bulb in that. You could say, hey, dingus, turn that light blue, and it will do it. You can't tell it to like alternate colors, and you also can't tell it to strobe. You need something like Home Flash for that. But you can definitely tell it to change colors just using Siri. And that's pretty cool. My kids also do that often to change the colors of everything in our house.
So not only that, I know he was, you know, Chris is getting very specific here. Like he doesn't want just green or something. Like he's like, oh, I want green monster green during baseball season.
Right.
You can actually go in. So if you're using a third-party home app, some of these will do it. I believe Home Plus is one of them. Home Plus, we like that one a lot. You can actually set the hex code. If you know, you can find the hex code on your computer. There's literally a color picker. You can open up, Command S to open up a Spotlight search. And I think it just called. Is it still in? Maybe it's not even included on the Mac anymore. I don't know. There's plenty of color pickers out. You can find the color, yeah, the hex code yourself. Google it. Give it a goog, as Faith's podcast would say. But you're going to pull up, you'll get that hex code, and then you can actually enter it into the app. So you can actually see exactly what color it is. So instead of just saying a certain color, you can give it that hex code, create a scene. So you can either manually do it or set a scene to invoke that scene. And boom, you got the exact color you want. You got that exact scarlet color for Ohio State to pull up on your lights during football season. So it's pretty cool.
All right, well, this next question, this is from Caleb Alexander. I think he sent this to both of us, but he's asking about the VocaLink Flowerbud diffuser, and he's having been having some issues with that. I know you've had one of these for a long time. So can you help Caleb out?
Yeah. So I like this at the end, by the way, if you read this. Maybe I didn't include it on our little note sheet that we share, but he's like, I'm pretty sure even Steven can pronounce my name.
Oh, that is a diss.
Caleb out, Caleb. Listen, Alexander? I don't know. Anyway.
If this is about the Maris, listen. I mean, I don't know any human being who, having not heard it before, would have pronounced M-E-R-O-S-S, Maris. But anyway, that's just me. No offense, Caleb. We still love you. Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, he's got a complicated setup, so I don't want to go through the whole question, but in Caleb's case, he's running this, it's in his bedroom. He's got the diffuser in his bedroom. It also, if you aren't familiar with the flower bud, it's got a little light in there, so it's nice for a nightstand light, and it also can be used as a diffuser for essential oils, or you can use it as a pretty basic humidifier. It'll work as a humidifier, but it's nothing crazy. So smaller rooms, that can definitely help you out in these dry winter months. But he is having issues with it connecting. It goes offline frequently. And he is using an extender. He's got an Airport Express in his bedroom. That is the Wi-Fi that the flower bud is connecting to. Also in his bedroom, he's got a bunch of Eve products and he's got an Apple TV. But for people who know Eve, most of their gear is running over Bluetooth. So his Eve stuff is always reliable. But of course, when I'm looking through this, all of those Eve devices are connecting directly to his Apple TV, which is much more reliable. So I can understand why his Eve stuff is good. And he says his tablets and his phones work fine over Wi-Fi in his room, but your phone, your iPads, they're going to operate differently connected to your network than like a HomeKit accessory. Like if your iPad drops Wi-Fi for a second, you're not really going to notice anything because your page isn't loading at that particular second, or it just takes a little bit longer for a news article to show up or your Twitter feed to refresh. It's pretty minor if there's like a gap for that. But if it's happening to like a HomeKit accessory, that's going to show it to go offline for whatever amount of time or whenever you're looking at it. So I can kind of see why there would be possibly a discrepancy with the Wi-Fi network on this one specific HomeKit device versus his phone or tablet. So my first thought would it would be possibly a Wi-Fi issue there with his Airport Express because it isn't his main router, and I've had minor issues with Airport Expresses in the past. So that would be kind of my thought, because he doesn't have anything in there that is running on Wi-Fi around the clock. No other HomeKit devices running over Wi-Fi in that room that are working correctly all the time. So my first try would be, he said he did swap it out and it was having a similar issue, which again leads me to think it must be the Wi-Fi, because I know mine has been working fine. It is always responding when I ask it to change colors or do anything like that. So I haven't had any issues with ours being responsive on the Wi-Fi network. And the fact that he tried two of these and it was still giving the same issue makes me think that there is some underlying network issue contributing to that. So I would try it in a different location just to see if that improves its responsiveness. So put it in your living room or something for a couple days, Caleb, see if that makes it show up more reliably. If it does, you got a Wi-Fi issue that you have to kind of solve. And if it doesn't do anything, then you know that the flower bud is just not going to work for you and you're going to have to wait for somebody else to come up with a similar product, which I hope they do, because the idea is pretty awesome. It actually is a really nice product for like a bedroom like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listeners, we hope you enjoyed our first episode of 2021, episode 31. Continue to keep your questions and projects coming. As we head into the new year, we'd love to see what projects you got going on. You could tweet photos at us or email us. Our Twitter handles and email are in the show notes. We'd love to hear from you. If you haven't yet, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. That'll help us be discovered by more HomeKit fans like yourself. And share the podcast. Tweet the links or tweet the articles when it comes out. That'll help us also gather more into the HomeKit army. As a, I don't know, do we want to nickname our HomeKit base, our team?
Oh, well, now you put me on the spot. I don't know. The HomeKit Insider Insiders.
Yeah, that's okay. we'll woodshed that. We'll workshop that. We'll figure out a better name. But anyway, share the podcast. Again, we'd love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out Apple Insider Daily. We have a show every day with the top headlines and also the Apple Insider podcast every Friday. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.